What's up, world? Welcome to the What's Your Thoughts on This podcast. I'm your host, Amir Ali. On today's show, we have New York City paramedic Dr. Ray on the show. You don't want to miss this. But hey, before you do anything, make sure you subscribe and share this episode with a friend. Happy holidays to you and your family. God bless you. What's up, world? Welcome to the What's Your Thoughts on This podcast. I'm your host, Amir Ali. I'm an opinionated fat boy from the west side of Detroit. I was groomed in Chicago and shaped in New York, but in my heart, Paris is home. Join me on my quest to get answers and gain clarity on a plethora of controversial topics, current events, and political issues. It's a lot going on in the world that I want to discuss, so please, take a listen and tell me your thoughts.
Tell me what's your thoughts on, what's your thoughts on this, what's your thoughts on.
Living in New York is tough, but growing up in Queens comes with its own struggles. Listen as New York City paramedic Dr. Ray speaks about his childhood in Corona, Queens, dropping out of high school, dealing with the death of some close family members, becoming a doctor, and losing everything. Finding God and rebuilding his life from the bottom up. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dr. Ray to the show. Thank you for coming, Dr. Ray.
Thank you for having me, man. How you doing?
I am blessed, man. I can't complain. You are a doctor and you also were an EMT or paramedic for like about 20 years, right?
More or less. I'm actually a person who graduated from medical school.
Okay.
I hold a doctorate degree in medicine, and I am currently working 1 to 4 days out of the month on a New York City ambulance. So when you call 911, there's a possibility that I might show up at your house, God forbid. But if you need me, I'm here for you.
How long have you, so are you an EMT or are you a paramedic?
Paramedic, advanced life support provider. But I'm always one to say BLS before ALS, which basically is trying to say you got to stick to your fundamentals. You got to crawl before you walk type of thing. So I'm a basic life support provider with advanced capabilities, I guess you can say. So I'm a combination of both.
How long have you been a paramedic?
To tell you the storyline, pretty much I became an EMT in 2003, a paramedic in 2007. And I graduated as a medical doctor in 2017.
Okay, and you are in New York. What borough do you work out of predominantly?
Mostly the Bronx.
How is that, being a paramedic in the Bronx?
It's pretty interesting, man, because the Bronx, you know, like Charlemagne the God says, all the crazy people are from Florida or the Bronx.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you see the news, you'll always see that it's East New York, Brooklyn, or the Bronx that are being highlighted in the news. The majority of times when it comes to things that happen that are newsworthy within New York City. So that being said, working in the Bronx is extremely interesting. And I actually prefer it because although I'm a doctor and I hold a doctorate degree, I'm very non-formal. I like to be one-on-one with the people. I'm not really one to like choke myself with a tie. And I enjoy it very much because the Bronx is very, very New York. You know, it's one of the last boroughs that's going to be gentrified.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of authentic New York feel to it. And, you know, since I was born and raised in the Bronx, I appreciate it very much.
Does that help, though, knowing the people, speaking their language?
For sure. I mean, being able to relate to somebody at any level, whether it's on a professional or personal level, is always something that will be ideal.
Yeah.
So if you can relate to somebody, by all means, take advantage of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you still live in the Bronx?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Because I always feel like, you know, police, paramedics and EMTs, I really like it when they live where they serve. Because I feel like if you know the people know you, they trust you a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of the pockets within the Bronx are dangerous, you know, like there's definitely very rough neighborhoods in the Bronx,
yeah.
But there's also very nice, neighborhoods in the Bronx. Amongst those, you have Riverdale, Country Club, Throsneck, Morris Park, Pelham Gardens. These areas are like, the majority of the residents are just people that, you know, they work their regular 9 to 5, they're doctors, they're lawyers. So you have some pretty good neighborhoods in the Bronx. It's just that, you know, those are not really highlighted in the news.
What was it like growing up in the Bronx?
I actually grew up in Queens, Corona, Queens, to be exact.
Shout out to Queens.
Yeah. Shout out to Queens for sure. But growing up in New York City, you know, I was born in the 80s, raised in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's totally different from what it is now, man. Wow. Huge difference. Like, I remember walking to school. I don't know if you guys probably seen it in the movies, but like having a body outlined with chalk on the sidewalk was very common for me in Corona, Queens. You know what I mean? Where it was like every almost all the time when I used to go to school, I would just see police activity from the previous night, see a lot of alcoholism, drug abuse, gang violence, trauma, you know, and it was just basically a poverty-stricken area where people of color were segregated.
Yeah.
And it was definitely makes me well-rounded to have been raised in that type of environment.
Did that have any effect on you? Like, did you have a drug problem, or were you ever involved in any gang activity?
I mean, you know, a lot of people don't want to admit to the fact that you become where you're from.
Yeah.
But you pretty much do, because we're a direct reflection and manifestation of what our influences are. So if you're being influenced by your neighborhood and your neighborhood is good, then you're most likely going to be turned out good. But vice versa, if you're in the bad neighborhood and you're being influenced by said neighborhood, being raised by a single mom who could do the best she can, but the best she can is not enough, then yeah, it will most definitely affect you.
So did you ever have any issues with drugs or sell drugs or any gang activity?
Yeah, I was in a gang.
Yeah.
I carried weapons. I've been shot at a couple times. I've been arrested a few times. I'm a high school dropout. You know, my life was threatened on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
And definitely was one of those people that abused substances like alcohol, nicotine, and drugs for sure. But,
so,
you know, luckily I snapped out of it.
Yeah. You know, when you did drugs or you drank alcohol, what was it, do you believe, that made you want to do it? You know, because I always tell people addiction, like I was just talking to one of my friends the other day who has a weight problem, and people were judging them. And I said, you know, an addiction is an addiction. It's a reason why those people are going to whatever it is, whether it's food to cope, whether it's alcohol to cope. You know, addiction is addiction. Do you remember what made you need or want those addictions at that time?
I'm glad you brought that up, because what you're talking about is basically a positive feedback loop.
Yeah.
Where you have a stimulus that causes a reaction. That reaction returns you back to that stimulus, and you just keep chasing your tail, kind of like a dog or a hamster in a wheel. Where it's kind of like a person who's depressed, a person who's an alcoholic, a person who's an alcoholic, a person who's a drug addict, and a person who suffers from obesity have something in common, and that's depression.
Yeah.
The thing is that they use a different vice to try and remedy the depression that they're feeling, you know. But then after they try and remedy it, they feel guilty, and then they just keep spiraling back into the process. And I know this firsthand, because I learned this while becoming a doctor, and I also lived it because I did it myself, you know.
Yeah. So you were depressed?
Yeah, man, I suffer from depression, and I mean, I currently do not. I would say that I'm at a point where I'm feeling and living optimal mental and physical health.
Yeah.
But there was definitely a point in my time in my life where I was in a really dark place. I was depressed, and, you know, I was having suicidal ideations, and yeah, it's definitely not easy. And I would say being raised in the circumstances I was raised in, a lot of times you start using these substances based on peer pressure, and then yeah. you become dependent on it because you use it so much that the neurotransmitters in your body and the hormones in your body and all these things, you just start becoming dependent on it, and then it just goes crazy after that.
What was your lowest point?
My lowest point in life?
When you were depressed.
The lowest point was when I graduated medical school and became a doctor.
Mm.
It's kind of backwards, but yeah, that was my lowest point when I came back from the Dominican Republic, because I studied to be a doctor in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
I came back with two sons and a wife, on the verge of being divorced, and I went back to live with my family in Corona, Queens, and I had a medical degree but no money, no yeah. job, and I was forced to take welfare again. I was forced to be on government assistance again
just to survive living in a
room the size of a closet with me and my two kids. I was 50 pounds overweight and just depressed, stressed out, dealing with a lady who we outgrew each other.
Yeah.
And just seeing my kids, and then the house I was living in, they were renting a room, and one of the people who was living there was an elderly man who kept falling asleep while his hot plate was on. He almost burned the house down 3 times.
Wow.
And I'm there like, wow, this is how I'm like living now. Like, what the heck was the point of becoming a doctor? What is this, the type of life that I'm gonna be giving my kids?
Yeah.
And then adding those life day-to-day pressures with studying for the United States Medical Licensing Exam, the USMLE. It was just like, there was a point where when I came back, I was doing a paramedic refresher because I was still a paramedic after graduating and become a doctor. So I figured I'll help back on the ambulance so I could work.
Okay.
And make some money. And while I was in the refresher, one of my classmates during the lunch break bought 2 slices of pizza. I remember this like yesterday. She didn't like the pizza and threw it in the garbage. And I was eager for them to leave so I could dig the pizza out of the garbage and eat it. Mm. Because I was so broke and I couldn't buy anything pretty much. And at that point in time, I was already a doctor, a paramedic, well-known paramedic in the city of New York. But little did anybody know what I was going through.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's funny, man. We look at people and we don't know what they're going through, and we are so wasteful, so wasteful. You were in the military?
My brother, Staff Sergeant Alex Ramon Jimenez.
Okay.
He was in the 10th Mountain Infantry out of Fort Drum, New York. He was a prisoner of war who was later killed in action.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
In Baghdad. Thank you. Baghdad, Iraq. Kidnapped in 2007. And his remains were found on the side of a river in 2008 in Iraq.
Wow.
And the reason why I mentioned this is because all these things that I'm mentioning, and you can continue asking me, I'll tell you everything. I don't mind. It's something like my brother, my grandmother, one of the people that I love the most in the entire world, died before I entered paramedic school. Remember, I said in the beginning, I became a paramedic in 2007. My grandmother died in the end of 2006.
Mm.
And in 2007, while I was in paramedic school, my brother was kidnapped during the midterm season. I used to go do my rotations, and people used to be like, yo, I saw your brother on the news, man. I hope they find him. But I ended up graduating as valedictorian.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But the reason I mention it is because life is just going to continue to throw curveballs at you guys, whoever's listening. It's just going to continue happening. When I was in medical school, they took away my loans.
Wow. Why did they take away your loans?
Because the school lost the qualification and received them. And I was finishing up pre-med. And right when I'm about to get my degree, they're like, all right, we can't pay for school no more. We can't lend you no more money.
And this was in the Dominican Republic.
What did I do? I started working in New York City as a paramedic. I would literally fly back and forth on long weekends, on the holidays and on vacation so I could work on the ambulance while going to school in the Dominican Republic.
Did you have any issues when you left the Dominican Republic with America accepting your license as a doctor because you got it over there? Did you have to do anything?
No, when you come back from overseas,
yeah,
and you're an international medical graduate, all you got to do is take the USMLE exams.
Okay.
Apply and get ECFMG certification and then apply for residency. So the step I'm on amongst those that I just mentioned, I have to take the USMLEs. Okay. But I actually postponed pursuing medicine because, well, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you seen a doctor smile?
Depends on the doctor. I see plastic surgeons smile all the time.
Yeah, on TV.
Yeah.
I know a
couple. So, but yeah, they don't smile often depending on the work that the doctor does.
Yeah, the majority of doctors, essential workers, and healthcare providers are burnt out.
Yeah.
Stressed out. And, you know, I caught gastritis. Eczema was rampant through my entire body, along with psoriasis, almost all throughout medical school.
Because of the stress?
Because of the stress, yeah, man. I was wound up. You know who I look like? I look like one of those cats. You know what I mean? When they got their back arched. You know? That's what I look like, man. I used to lash out at my classmates. I was super duper stressed.
What made you want to get in the medical field?
Basically, there was a point in my life when I started transitioning from, I guess you could call this quote unquote street life.
Yeah.
Although I was not, you know, like the biggest gangster in New York City, but I was around some pretty intimidating guys, you know, and I noticed that it was a dead end. I was like, wow, I'm gonna end up dead or in jail. And it happened approximately after someone tried to kill me.
What happened?
Where I was plotting revenge on somebody who who tried to shoot me a few times.
What happened though? Like, you were outside and they tried to shoot you when you're home? What happened?
Yeah, I was in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Deported. Pretty much deported by my moms, and I went back home to the DR, you know, where, you know, I'm like, I'm from New York, man. These damn hicks over here, these campesinos, these dumbass Dominicans is what I was thinking at the time.
Yeah.
They ain't got nothing on me. I'm from New York, man. What do they know about it? We just survived the Twin Towers, you know? And then one day, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm riding around in my scooter, high and drunk, and they pulled me over and started shooting at me. I got away, but eventually I found out who it was and I was plotting revenge.
Yeah.
But then I caught divine intervention and understood that that's not the way I should proceed. And then I was like, so what am I going to do? And all these thoughts started flooding my mind about becoming a firefighter. And I was like, nah, not a firefighter. Because in the city, like when you're raised in the hood,
yeah,
you think to yourself, as long as I got a city job with benefits, I'm good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You feel me? So I was just like, all right, city job, Firefighter, nah, I'm not crazy about that. Cops, hell no. Cops were not my best friend at that point in time. And I said EMT. All right, EMTs. Yeah, EMTs are the good guys. And I did EMT mostly because of my grandmother, because my grandmother was always sick because she was overweight and suffered from obesity and heart failure and diabetes. So I was like, yeah, they always help my grandmother every time we call 911. And then I became an EMT, and that's how it all started.
Okay. Are you happy with the decision that you made?
For sure, man. If I was asked to do it again, I most definitely would.
See, my cousin is a paramedic, so I understand what it is that you guys go through and the things that you guys see and, you know, how you guys save lives. Being a paramedic in New York City, which is the greatest city in America and probably the second greatest city in the world outside of Paris. But what are some of the things that you have seen that have just made even you say, man, this is tough, this is hard?
What do you mean, while working on the ambulance?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Pretty much nothing.
So nothing has shocked you?
Yo, shocked for sure.
But like what? What's some of the things that you've seen that were just extremely shocking for you?
Like, I went to a high school bash, a high school party, I guess you could call, like, while working on the ambulance, and I saw about 8 people shot up in the hot summer night. I have a YouTube channel and I post it. You can look it up, NYC Streets MD, where basically I uploaded a video talking about the worst call I've ever been on. And that call, you know, it's a call where a female who looked like kind of like Pocahontas was like 2 to 3 months pregnant, and they threw her off the roof of her building.
Wow. But
the crazy thing is that when we got there, I just saw a bunch of kids playing basketball and like going on about their business with their parents, listening to music around her dead body.
Wow.
Like they were just like, whatever, just another day in the projects.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, so that's one of the things that that stand out a lot. But nothing was really shocking, I would say, because it's just like it's something that they prepare you for in school, where they mention it a lot. They mention it a lot, and it's like eventually your brain starts to create a callus towards it. You know,
being a paramedic throughout the pandemic, how has that been?
Scary.
Yeah,
for sure. It was super duper scary because it's just like, oh man, I might get it this time, I might get it with this patient, I might get it with that patient. What am I gonna do? How am I gonna like go back home? Should I take my clothes off at the entrance? Should I take my clothes off in my car? Should I quarantine? That person definitely had it. Should I quarantine already without getting a positive result? Like, what, you know, like, it was just a whole bunch of like thoughts flowing through my head, you know?
Yeah. Were you working crazy hours? Because I know at the beginning of the pandemic or in the middle of the pandemic, you know, they were calling paramedics and EMTs from other cities and states and stuff to come and help out.
Yeah, they were definitely everybody. People from out of state definitely came in to help. Thanks a lot to everybody who came out. But I wasn't working many hours. But I was like, I've always been a person who works in the healthcare field,
yeah,
but always has other things going on. You know what I mean? Like, where like I've always been business minded.
Yeah.
So like while I went through this whole transition of like becoming EMT, becoming a paramedic and all, becoming a doctor, I've always had like some kind of side hustle going on. So during the pandemic, although I was working, I was still running a business.
Okay.
You know, like, so I always have, like, I never, you know, there was a point in my life where I used to work like 60, 70 hours on the ambulance per week. But not anymore. Like, that was just for a small amount of time. For the most part, I'm always focusing on being my own boss and working for myself.
You said that you dropped out of school, high school. Why did you drop out of high school?
I mean, when I was in junior high school, my teacher said, she instructed me to go back to the rock I crawled from. Mm. You know, wow. What I'm saying? I wanted to say her name, but I would hate for one of her, she's probably dead now, but I would hate for like one of her relatives to hear this and then have them sue me. But, you know, VH were her initials.
It would take a lot for her to sue you just for saying the truth. But so she told you, she told you to go back to the rock that you came from up under, and that made you feel like what?
I mean, just like public school was just not for me.
Yeah.
High school was just not for me. It was just like, I was lost. I mean, there's plenty of teachers who probably try to get through to us, but you know, when you're like 10, 20 deep, and y'all all high, y'all all laughing, and life is a joke, and you're playing hooky and waiting for the next hooky party. Last thing you want to do is worry about some damn freaking science biology exam, you know?
Yeah. What grade did you drop out?
The last grade I completed was ninth grade, so I basically dropped out after junior high school.
Okay. And did you take your GED or did you go back to school? What happened?
I did a GED.
Okay.
So I took a challenge exam for a GED.
What does that mean?
It means basically like, you're like, yo, basically it's like saying, yo, I'm smart enough to pass this exam, the GED exam. I don't got to go to class to prepare for it.
Oh, gotcha.
And then you take the exam, and then you take the exam and you pass it, and then you got your GED.
Okay. Okay. That's, wow, I didn't know how that worked. Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome that, you know, even everything that you've been through, you've continued to keep pressing and continue to keep pressing. And I think that that's a testament to you. And I think other people need to really think about that, because we go through so many things in this life, you know, on a daily basis. But, you know, if you can, you have to keep going. And even if you can't, you have to find a way to keep going. What has been the thing to keep you pressing in the midst of so many turbulent times?
Understanding that everybody who you know as a celebrity, everybody who you know that has been an impactful person in your life has most likely gone through trials and tribulations themselves.
Yeah.
To understand that Oprah Winfrey, Mahatma Gandhi, Jim Carrey, 50 Cent, and et cetera, like literally everybody goes through the hero's journey. Whoever's made to lead is going to inevitably go through the hero's journey. And what is the hero's journey? Going through trials and tribulations. And then coming up out of that shit, and then paying it forward and letting the world see their blessings and letting the world see the wisdom that they acquired throughout the process. So what helps me push forward is that if another man could do it, I could do it. We're all human. It don't matter what race you are. It don't matter what color skin you have. We all are 99.9% identical. Look it up. The only thing that differentiates us is 0.1% of our genetic variability. Everyone's the same. So if another motherfucker could do it, you could do it.
Definitely.
Everyone, I'm sorry for cursing. I don't even know if I can curse
grown.
On this.
But we are grown.
I like that. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, if another man could do it, you could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that keeps me pushing, where it's just like, man, you know, I just look at LeBron James. He's like, what, 6'7", 6'8", 260 pounds?
Yeah.
I can't definitely not jump as high as him, but if he's successful. I mean, I got to be realistic at the same point. Yeah. Where I'm not going to be able to, like, win as many NBA rings as much as he has or enter the NBA. But at the same time, all I have to do is adapt his mindset and his way of proceeding and extrapolate it to my life and my situation. And just apply the same principles. So Kobe Bryant's version of waking up at 4 a.m. and playing basketball and shooting 1,000 free throws is my version of going to the gym and tracking my macros and eating right and helping people online.
Yeah, that's one of the things that when I saw you online, one of the things I really liked and I admired about you is you mentor people. And you know, because a lot of people who have been through things, sometimes they don't have time for other people. And I love the fact that you, that's one of the, that's almost like a job for you where you mentor people. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and what it is that you do?
I mean, basically, people say that you found your passion when you found something that you would do for free.
Yeah.
And mentoring people, helping people. I was always the type of dude who, like, when a nigga's getting jumped, I'm the dude to be like, yo, the cops are coming, the cops are coming. Because I was just always had, like, a big heart. And I used to just see people getting hurt, see people doing bad. And I would always want to, like, help them. And although my form of helping when that person was getting jumped, let's say for example, was not kicking him in his face.
Yeah.
I was also not kicking him in his face and also telling everybody else, like scaring them that the cops are coming when they really wasn't.
Yeah.
But it was more like, yo, just stop hitting him.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to tell you is that ever since I can remember, I've been a humanitarian. I've always been a person who loves animals and love people. Like, I already love you, and I don't even, we never met, because yeah. I just end up loving people, and I want to see people do good. I want to see people look good, feel good, and do good, and just have everything and check off all the boxes of their bucket list and check off all the boxes of what it takes to be happy. So I have been able to overcome depression. I've been able to overcome poverty. I've been able to overcome addiction. I've been able to overcome a divorce. I've been able to overcome birth defects. And I've been able to overcome all these things. And I feel on top of the world.
Yeah.
Now, how selfish would I be keeping that to myself?
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's 2021 out here, bro. Like, oh, you got a smartphone? Check. You got Wi-Fi? Check. You got a charger? Check. Bro, I forgot where I heard it, but your little cousin who's 3 years old on his phone got more power in his hands than the president of the United States 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So with me, it's kind of like I could practice medicine and like influence one person at a time. Like, prescribing them Tylenol, which has adverse effects on their liver, and then I gotta run to the freaking computer to just type up everything I did, which is, to me, I don't rock with that.
Yeah.
I don't rock with, like, see a patient for 3 minutes and then go spend the rest of your shift on the computer writing up what you supposedly told this person. And that's what doctors do, especially in the emergency room. I could be mistaken. Anybody who says I'm wrong, DM me, correct me. But that's what I saw while I became a doctor. Or I could just get online and leverage social media. Use it. Don't let it use me.
Yeah.
And then reach more people. Like, I got over 150,000 views on YouTube. I have over 2,000 people that I work with or talk to. I have a thriving online mentorship business. And I'm just a goldfish getting started in the sea of the internet. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just getting started, bro. Like, you ain't seen nothing yet. And that's what I like the most about it, because I'm a product of that, bro. I'm a product of being mentored. Like, how you think I made all these transitions? It wasn't me. It was people that God put in my path along the way that they became mentors for me in those certain areas of life.
Yeah. So what does a mentor, what does your mentorship program look like? So if someone, who is your audience? Who would come to you? Is it just males? Is it males and females? Is it, you know, who should come to you for mentorship?
Well, before I answer that, I want to finish an idea, if it's all right with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I was saying was that a person who's able to accomplish so much in life, which you're probably feeling or you're deducing from this conversation we're having, this did not happen by my doing exclusively. This was done by guidance and coaching and mentorship that I received along the way. Anybody who wants to fulfill anything in life, you could either take the stairs by trying to figure it out by yourself, or you can take the escalator by having someone teach you how to do it. So I have no idea how to do the podcast thing. But if I did, I should holler at you because you're already doing it. Feel me?
Yeah.
So if you need to know how to do something, the best way for you to know how to do it is by getting with somebody who's already doing it.
Yeah.
That way you can save time, because in reality, the real currency is time. Money don't really exist. What really is of value is time. Warren Buffett is the richest, Jeff Bezos is the richest man on earth, if I'm not mistaken. But he, no matter how much money he has, cannot buy your youth. If you're 18 years old and you're listening to this, Jeff Bezos, the boss of Amazon, as of now, from what we know, he cannot buy your youth. It's priceless.
Yeah.
And what is your youth? It's time. You have more time. So what I'm trying to tell you, this is why a mentor or seeking guidance is so important. Like, I have over 200 videos, almost 200 videos on YouTube talking about how to be a efficient and a great EMT or paramedic. I'm giving you all this experience through the videos, and I'm helping you save time. Because if you want to be EMT and you want to be good at it, now you're listening to an experienced person. So just want to put that out there. Whatever it is you want to do, just get with the person who's on top of that game and listen to them. As far as who I work with and what my mentorship program entails,
yeah,
it's basically, I feel like, I know that in life, we're similar to a table, where a table has different legs, right? And a lot of times people only focus on one leg, like the academic leg. A lot of times people only focus on the physical leg or the financial leg or the spiritual leg. And then very seldomly do we find someone who's trying to make all legs of the table strong so the table could be sturdy. You want your life to have a great foundation, a strong foundation, and you want to be, at least in my opinion, killing it in all areas of life.
Right.
Not like you want a six pack with a beautiful wife who's a model and have a couple $1 million yeah. in the bank while driving a Ferrari and have your kids smiling, well-educated and well-spoken.
Yeah, definitely.
With a degree, not just, hey, I'm a doctor. I got a pizza stain on my shirt. I smell like cigarettes, but I'm a doctor and my wife wants to divorce me.
Yeah. It's a lot of people out there I know who, after hearing this, definitely, you know, may be seeking mentorship and might want to come to you. So who is your audience? Who is the person that can come to you and get all of those things that you were talking about?
A person who is ideal to work with is a person who's sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
A person who understands that they have more to offer, that there's more to life, and they're just tired of getting in their own way.
Yeah.
And you need the right mindset. Like, if you feel like you want to climb Mount Everest, but you're wearing a freaking huge book bag, take off the book bag. If you feel like you want to run a marathon, but you're like, wait, before I run the marathon, let me shoot myself in the foot, then hit me up. If you want to live the life you desire, then hit me up. Why? Because I went from being a high school dropout raised by a single mother on welfare to becoming a medical doctor, being arrested and doing all these things. And I know what it takes. But the good thing is, it's not just about the degree.
Yeah.
It's about overcoming life's obstacles. It's about being in shape. It's about reaching optimal health, physically and mentally.
You do online and in-person mentorship?
I mean, the in-person things I do are mostly volunteer work. Like, if anybody's listening to this and they want me to go to their high school, they want me to go to their church, they want me to do whatever, like, I'll go. But the majority of the people I work with, if not all, are on a formal basis, it's online.
Okay.
Like I mentioned before, I leverage the internet. But the mentorship that I do formally is online, where I help people reach optimal mental and physical health, literally. You could check the testimonials on my Instagram, on my YouTube.
So you help people who are struggling with like obesity. You help them, or not necessarily struggling with obesity, but people who want to make a change in their life as far as with their weight and in their health. You help them with like workout plans and food plans and stuff.
So the good thing about the people I work with is that they're not only going to be working with a person who's a fitness professional, which you'll see from my Instagram, that I preach what I do what I preach, but I'm also a medical doctor, where everything and anything that a person could be going through on a physical and mental level, I have a very deep understanding, not just from the theory and the practical knowledge, but also from personal experience. So I've worked with people that suffer from obesity, from addiction, or just a person, or just a female who wants to fit into a dress in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a wide range of things where, you know, I'm able to share what I've learned throughout medical school and it took me almost 7 years to become a medical doctor. And I've been a New York City first responder essential worker for almost 20 years. So I basically share with people along with give them everything I have within my arsenal that has allowed me to amass the success that I have to date.
That's awesome.
The best knowledge is the one you share with somebody.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the I'll meet up with people in person. I don't mind, like even the person who prepares my sandwich at the deli, I'm mentoring. That little bit of time that he's like cutting my cold cuts, I'm talking to him about like, you know, being happy, how he feels and tips and tricks on how to lose weight. Like I'm all day, every day giving out free game for free because it was given to me.
Yeah.
And it's my duty to pay it forward.
Amen. I totally agree with that, because what's the use of you having the knowledge if you're not going to sow it into someone else's life? It helped you, so don't just keep it.
Yep.
Bless somebody else with it, so, you know, so they can grow and they can get to where they need to be.
This is human nature, bro.
Yeah.
Human nature is to be social, is an interdependent society.
Yeah. You said earlier that you overcame some health defects.
Yeah, so basically these are not in no way, shape or form, because you, when you think health defects, you think more like cerebral palsy and hydrocephalus and things like that. The health defects or health issues that I was born with are related to atopy or being atopic. So I suffer from asthma.
Okay.
I've been inhaler dependent, and there's a subset of asthma where the person also has dermatological manifestations of being hyperreactive. And my dermatological manifestations have been, are not limited to eczema. Like literally my entire body was beefy red, along with a mixture of psoriasis.
Wow.
Yeah, like when I was in medical school, the stress would get to me so much that I would have like my face would swell up, my eyelids were swollen of all the eczema and all the things I was suffering from.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so that's I guess you can say a birth defect, because it's basically an autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
Where it's not as bad as the other autoimmune diseases, but it definitely is challenging and distracting, because while you're trying to prepare for an exam and it's freaking 90 degrees outside, but you're wearing a long sleeve because you're trying to hide your manifestations of the disease. The only people who are really going to understand the scale of what I'm talking about are people who suffer from it themselves.
Yeah. What are you most proud of?
Surviving. Overcoming.
That's your biggest accomplishment?
Yep.
Yeah.
Overcoming, surviving, being reborn.
Yeah.
Not succumbing to statistics. To bouncing back like a real motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like I was divorced. I was divorced, bro. 50 pounds heavier. Now my fiance is 22 years old, bro. She's a model who's studying to be an architect and knows four languages.
Wow.
I'm impacting people worldwide.
And she's 22 and how old are you?
I'm 35, about to be 36.
Okay.
But, you know, it's just the age difference is what I'm trying to say by highlighting the age difference is that, bro, a man who's 35, 36 is usually getting ready to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
I'm out here just getting started.
Couple of medical questions before we go. Well, not medical questions, but just some questions about what's currently going on. COVID has been around now. We'll be going into the second year pretty soon. Have you seen that things are slowing down? Does it look like we got a handle on things or what's your thought about that?
I mean, I would say that the cases and the mortalities that I saw during the height of the pandemic are a lot less now than they were when it was like at the height, which is to be expected. And things look like they're on the up and up and are definitely improving. But we do have to be careful because there's something called symptom overlap where now that it's getting a little colder in New York City, there's a possibility that the flu season comes around and things are going to be, you know, it's going to add extra variables to this already mixed up situation that is probably going to cause more confusion.
Do you see a lot more of gunshot wounds, gunshot victims, or stabbings?
Mostly gunshot, man. I mean, it depends on the area you work in, but unfortunately, a lot of the inner cities, they're listening to hip hop. One of the reasons why I would say that there's more gun violence is because that's what's mostly mentioned in the songs. They're always talking about chopper this, chopper that. Until a motherfucker makes a rap song talking about machete this or stabbing that, then you're not going to see as much knife violence.
So you've accomplished a lot. Anything else left on your plate to accomplish?
Yeah.
What?
I want to change the world. I want to be a testament of resilience. I want to be a testament of discipline, a testament of selflessness, a testament of just staying the course. So I believe that with my story and the things that I have yet to fulfill, I mean, I honestly feel like I'm only 10% of the man I'm destined to be right now, as is. On this date, during this call, I'm only 10% of the man I'm destined to be. So there's more to come. That's how I want to change the world. I want to help people avoid the banana peels that I slipped on. Mm. I want to share what worked for me with the world. Yeah, and then have them help somebody else and have basically a domino effect.
To help someone else.
Amen.
Thank you for the work that you do. You know, being a person who lives in New York, I watch the news and I see and I hear things. And, you know, when you hear the ambulance, when you hear, you know, the fire trucks, when you hear the police sirens, you always wonder, you know, and oftentimes I say a silent prayer like, you know, Lord, bless them because you never know what they're going to. So it's to bless the people that called and the parties that are on their way. So I thank you very much for the time that you take out of your life to go and help other people and putting your life in jeopardy going on some of these calls, you know, because I told you my cousin, he's a paramedic. So there's been times he told me that he had to go into places and people were shooting.
Of course, man. Thank you. And thank you for having me on. Thank you for everybody listening and all the essential workers out there, not just EMTs, paramedics, people working in pharmacy, people bagging up groceries and helping old ladies with their groceries and people working in the supermarkets and the restaurants and cab drivers and just anybody who puts in their two cents into society. Just understand that a hello goes a long way. being polite would make somebody's day. You know what I'm saying? So everyone is essential. We're all God's children and we're all useful on this earth. It don't matter whether you're a doctor or a janitor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't no one better than no one.
Definitely.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ray.
Got you, bro.
Gotta have you back soon.
This was fun, man. Hit me up. Yeah, let me know. I'm here for you.
Dr. Ray has dedicated his life to his new wife, raising his sons, and helping people like you and me to become our best selves. Happy birthday, Dr. Ray. Thank you for all you do to make this world a better place. We appreciate you. For more on Dr. Ray, you can follow him on Instagram at NYCStreetsMD. That's NYCStreetsMD. And on YouTube, NYCStreetsMD. That's our show for today.
The music used during the interview of this episode was produced by Anno Domini Nation.
Thank you for listening to the What's Your Thoughts on This podcast. We truly appreciate your support. Our show is produced by Amir Ali. Our theme song was written by Amir Ali, produced by Adrian Brundy, and performed by Enrico Delves. If you would like to be a guest on our show, or if you have a question or you want to provide some feedback, send an email to WYTOTpodcast@gmail.com. Our podcast is available on all platforms, so make sure you subscribe to our show and follow us on social media. Be well, be safe, and be blessed. Until next time.